Morning, church. How are we this morning? It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, first of all, I want to apologize for the little cough that I got. So any disruption that it may cause, I apologize. I am on the mend. Came down with the flu about a week and a half ago. Passed it on to Krupa and she wasn't very happy with me. She had to take the whole week off work, and I said, what do you want me to do, sleep on the roof? But praise God. Well, last Sunday, I was thinking and praying about the sermon, and I was asking, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? As I do, and I prayed and was seeking the Lord, and the Lord gave me what I needed to speak. But then I said to him, Lord, can you confirm that for me? I don't know why I said that. I said, Lord, please confirm. And then Tuesday, I had a call from a friend, and he wanted to catch up with me. So we caught up, and we spent about 8-9 hours together. And that friend ended up staying with me the night. Anyway, he is going through a very difficult time in his life. And he's come to a point where he said, I can't do this anymore. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to throw the towel in. And I just don't see a way forward. And at one point in the night, he said, I know you're a lot busy, so I'm going to let you get on with whatever you need to do. I said, yeah, I've got to prepare a sermon. And then he said, there's your sermon, my friend. And I said, I agree. You just confirmed my sermon. So the title of my sermon this morning is Embrace the Wilderness. Embrace the Wilderness. So this morning I'd like to turn your attention to a scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verse 22. Can you hear a little bit of echo? Yeah. This morning, I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verse 22. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Let us throw him in the pit in this wilderness. Now, when you hear the word wilderness, a lot of things come to our mind. We think of a place that is uninhabitable. We think of a place that is empty and desolate, a place where there could be a lot of danger, wild animals, deadly snakes. You might think of a place where there is no sign of growth, lacking purpose, a place where people would find themselves lost in, lacking direction, so on and so forth. So the book of Genesis chapter 37 onwards tells us a beautiful story about this young man, and I'm sure you're all familiar with this young man. His name is Joseph. Now, Joseph was one of the 12 brothers of Jacob. And the Bible says that his father Jacob loved Joseph more than every other children he got. Because the Bible says he was the son of his old age. And because Joseph was his favorite, Jacob made him a very special tunic. The Bible says a tunic of many colors. Because he was his favorite child. But when the brothers, the other 11 brothers, saw that their father loved this boy more than everyone else, hatred started to rise in them. They hated him. And when Joseph was 17 years old, the Lord gave him a dream. And the dream was that he would be one day in a position of greatness. And Joseph decided to share the dream he had with the brothers. And he said, In the dream, we were in the field, and my sheaf, there were sheaves all around, and my sheaf stood upright, and all your sheaves stood all around me and bowed down to me. And the brothers lost the plot. They said, are you saying that you will reign over us, that you will have dominion over us? And they hated Joseph even more. Joseph then had another dream. And in that dream, he saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. And now he's walking on thin ice with the brothers. They had a gutful of him. And one day, Jacob, his father, said to his son, Joseph, go and check on your brothers who are feeding the flock in the wilderness and bring back word to me. And Joseph said, yes, sir. And off he went to check on his brothers. And while he's on the way, the brothers saw him from the distance. And the brothers said, hey, fellas, listen, look who's coming. The dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Wonder who he thinks he is. Let's teach him a lesson. Let's capture him, kill him. And let's go and tell our father that some wild animal captured him and devoured him. And let's see what his dream will come to be. He thinks he will reign over us. He thinks he will rule over us. Let's kill him. The Bible says they conspired against Joseph to kill him. But his brother Reuben says, let's not kill him. He's our own flesh and blood. Let's just capture him, throw him in the pit in this wilderness. So they stripped him off his tunic, the tunic of many colors that his father specifically gave it to him. They stripped that off him and threw him in the pit. Now this marks the beginning of a wild journey of wilderness for this young 17-year-old man. Now one can only imagine the agony, the terror, the pain that this 17-year-old boy would have gone through when his own brothers turned against him in the wilderness. He has no one to help him, and he's thrown in the pit. And as we read the Bible, we see that he was then sold for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelite traders who were passing by. So in those days, 20 shekels of silver is what you paid for a slave. So he was given away for 20 shekels of silver to these traders. And then they took him to Egypt, and he was sold to a man named Potiphar, who was the captain of the guards of King Pharaoh. His top official, he was sold to this man, and he served as a slave in Potiphar's house. Now, the Bible says, it's very interesting, even though this young 17-year-old boy started this journey of wilderness, the Lord was with him. Everything that Joseph put his hand to flourished and prospered. And Potiphar took notice of it, and he said, I want you to take care of everything I have in this household. I want you to take care of my house, my crops, everything you can think of. Joseph, you're in charge of it, because I see the hand of God on your life. So he took over Potiphar's household and looked after it, did a good job, until things got ugly when Potiphar's wife made sexual advancements towards this young man. Now, Joseph was a very young, strong, good-looking young man, and she said, lie with me. The Bible says this was not a one-off event. It was an event that occurred day after day. Man, that is pretty full on. And things got bad to worse. And one day she said, listen, there's nobody here. My husband's not here, just you and me. Come lie with me. And the Bible says that Joseph said, how can I do such great wickedness and sin against God? And he fled. He fled from this wicked woman and ran for the hills. Man, I love this because what a great role model Joseph is. Young man. You know, when sexual immorality comes knocking at your door, run for the hills. Just flee. Don't think you can stand there and fight it, just flee. Just run for the hills. So Joseph fled that wicked woman and he ran for the hills. And things got worse. Now this man has done nothing wrong, but now this wicked woman started accusing him of rape. And he ended up in prison. And it doesn't matter what he does, everything, the more he tries to please God, the more he does the righteous thing, the more he seems to get in trouble. What a journey of wilderness. Psalms 105, 17 to 18, it says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Man, what a journey to go through as a young man in the wilderness. And while he's in prison, he came across the chief butler and chief baker of King Pharaoh. And they had a dream one day, and they wanted to have an interpretation for the dream, and Joseph was asked to interpret the dream. If this isn't a test from the Lord, I don't know what it is. Joseph could have said, you know what, fellas, I had a dream too, long time ago, and I saw greatness, and look where that dream ended me up in. I saw greatness, and I'm in chains. Dreams don't come through. Forget it. Just forget it. Just ignore it. Have you ever had someone come to you and say, hey, can you pray for me for a breakthrough in my job situation? And you yourself is looking for a breakthrough in your life. What a test that is. Are you going to say, you know what, forget it. I haven't seen my breakthrough. If that isn't a test of faith, I don't know what it is. But Joseph does not say that. He actually interpreted the dream while he's in chains in prison. And he said to the chief butler, hey, remember me when everything goes well for you. And make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place. Don't forget me. But the Bible says the butler forgot about him and everything went well for him. Then God gives King Pharaoh, so 2 years went after this event. He ended up in prison for 2 more years after the butler was released in chains. Here is Joseph in chains. And then finally, King Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler remembered, hey, there is a boy in the dungeon there. He is a good interpreter of dreams. And King Pharaoh brings him in. And Joseph interprets the dream, as you know. So after traveling through the wilderness for 13 long years, Joseph finally saw the fulfillment of the promise that the Lord gave him. Joseph was promoted to the second most powerful man in the land of Egypt, which was the most powerful nation at that time. From the dungeon in chains to the second most powerful, the second in command in Egypt. You see, nobody likes to go through wilderness. But it is God ordained and has great purpose. Sometimes the wilderness can be brought upon ourselves by our unwise decisions and, you know, the things that we do. You can bring the wilderness upon yourself, but God can make all things work together for our good if you put our trust in Him. But some wilderness are ordained by the Lord because there's great purpose in it. Now, the Hebrew word for the term wilderness, the Hebrew word for the term wilderness is midbar, M-I-D-B-A-R, which means uninhabited land. It is also defined as a place of directing, a place of instructing. Now, what is really interesting is the word midbar comes from the root word dabar, D-A-B-A-R. And the word dabar means to speak, to have a conversation. Now, this is very interesting because wilderness is the place that is Lord ordained because He wants to speak. He wants to have business with you. He wants to instruct. He wants to guide. He wants to direct. The Greek word for wilderness is eremos, which means a place of isolation. Sometimes the Lord has to isolate you in order to get your attention, so he can instruct you and sometimes to even discipline you. Just like a kid, when he misbehaves, the parent would take the kid aside and instruct. You know, when I was growing up back in India, in our church, kids had to sit on the floor in the front. We couldn't sit on the bench. So we never listened to sermons. All we did was play games and muck around and make a disruption. And when things get worse, Mum would come, grab you by the hand, take you aside, and she would say, "You wait till you get on." And she meant business. And, you know, my mother did a lot of disciplining. She was the one disciplined. Dad only stepped in when things got out of control. You don't want Dad to step in. It's game over. So, you know, when I was in school, all I cared about is play cricket. You know, when I'm in class, I'll be dreaming about the cover drives and the pool shots that I would hit when I get home, play cricket with the lads. And I think it was grade 8 or something. There was too much cricket going on, and I failed in math. And I would come home at 7:30 at night after a game of cricket with the lads in the paddock. You know, we didn't have iPads back then, which was good. You just played cricket and climbed trees and all that stuff. And I failed in math. And Mum took matters into her own hands. She went to the shop and bought a bamboo stick. And then she tied a rubber band at the end of it. And to make matters worse, she wrote my name on it. And miraculously, I started passing the exams. It's amazing what a bamboo stick can do. So, you know, I'm grateful for the discipline I received from my parents, you know. So, anyway, I went off track. So, sometimes the Lord has to take you aside to instruct you, to get your attention. He wants to do business with you. He wants to speak. He wants to instruct. So, the Hebrew word for wilderness is dabar, which means to speak. So rather than praying for your wilderness to be taken away from you, we are to embrace the wilderness. Because it is often in these lonely places that God chooses to speak to us. The book of Hosea talks about Israel's spiritual adultery and how they went after false gods. And in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But then I will win her back." This is the Lord speaking. "But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her there." Wow. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. It is a place that the Lord wants to speak to us tenderly, in a loving, gentle way. You know, the Bible doesn't say, "I will lead her into the wilderness and abandon her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak to her tenderly. I will win her back." See, you might be going through a season of wilderness in your life. You might be overwhelmed and confused, ready to throw the towel in, not knowing where you're heading. You might even find yourself questioning God and His wisdom. You know, it's a season where it can make or break people. You know, Numbers chapter 14, verse 2 says, "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness.' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness.'" See, Israel, the people of Israel were willing to go back into bondage and slavery and death rather than putting their trust in God in the wilderness. They wanted the promise of God fulfilled, but not the process. You know, I've got news for you this morning. There is no promise without process. We want the easy way out, but the Lord works differently to how we want it. He will take us through the process before the promise is fulfilled in your life. Know that the wilderness is ordained by God. Know that it is a place where the Lord wants to speak to you tenderly. Know that God, in His infinite wisdom and power, will make all things work together for our good. You see, the wilderness is a place of preparation. It is a place where the Lord will prepare your heart for the promise you're about to receive. Joseph spent 13 years in the wilderness as a slave, as a prisoner, before the promise of the Lord came to fruition and he became the second in charge in the land of Egypt. God prepared Moses for 40 years in the wilderness before he turned up to Moses and said, "Lead my people." Jesus, after he was baptized, the Bible says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. It doesn't say the Spirit led him to the Gold Coast Hilton to have a good time. The Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days. And that was ordained by God. And the Bible says he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went on an absolute rampage, healing the sick, raising the dead, driving demons out of people, you name it. A season of wilderness precedes a season of significance, a season of great fruitfulness. You know, it is also a place where God can do a lot of pruning in us and cut off things that are carnal in nature. You know, he will withhold from you things that you used to rely on for your security, for your provision. He will withhold from you things that you put your identity in. He will prune those things so you will put your identity in Christ. See, the wilderness is a powerful tool in the hands of God when it comes to preparing us for the next chapter. You know, pruning, shaking, and refining are all unpleasant process. Yet it is in this challenging time, in this challenging season, that we are being prepared for what God has for next. Secondly, the wilderness can be a place to test, to reveal what is in your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 6, it says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not even know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." I love this. "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what's in your heart." He tested the people of Israel to reveal what's in their hearts. The pressure of wilderness can reveal what's in our hearts. The fire will reveal what you're built of. Whether you are someone who will remain faithful and run the race like a true champion, or you'll be someone who will fall by the wayside and not persevere through the trials of life. You know, I've seen numerous people who would throw the towel in. They say, "I didn't sign up for this. I was expecting champagnes and bubbles when I said yes to Jesus." They're not built for the wilderness because they don't have the right revelation. (Clears throat) You see, fire reveals what you're built of. Pressure reveals what's in your heart. we got a pressure cooker in our house. It's an awesome pressure cooker. And Krupa uses that to cook amazing dishes. And I don't need to see what's inside to know what's inside. When the fryer is cranking, there is a pressure valve on the top with the lid on it. And the pressure inside would be so intense, the lid would just lift itself and steam would just be dispersed. I don't need to see what's inside to know what's inside. The aroma will just fill the room. And I can't wait to eat it. Right? The pressure will reveal what's inside of your heart. The wilderness will reveal what's inside of your heart. Our faith in Christ is forged in the wilderness, number three. Our faith in Christ is forged in the wilderness. Just as steel is forged by the blacksmith hammer, our faith in God can be strengthened by the wilderness that we travel through. See, when you come to a place where everything you used to put your faith in, everything you used to put your trust in has come crumbling down, all you have now is Christ, you have arrived at the most beautiful place in your life. You are in the best place that you can ever be when you have nothing else to put your faith in but God. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you see trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1, 2 to 4. Our wilderness can help forge our faith in Christ. You know, I was talking to Michelle. I actually rang her 2 days ago and said, can I share about your story? She said, yes. You know, she had been going through a period of wilderness for the last 12 months or so, lost her house, had to part ways with the dogs, and, you know, and Krupa and I had the privilege to stay with her next door. And so we were able to travel this wilderness with her. And last week she had great breakthrough, found a house and dogs are coming back. And I said, so you've been going through a wilderness, Michelle, what have you learned? And she said, this wilderness has forged my faith in Christ. This wilderness has helped me to trust in God. And I said, so would you have any other way? No, I love the wilderness. I needed this. God taught me so much through this wilderness. I embrace this wilderness. No, it's not pleasant. You don't sit and say, Lord, bring me wilderness. But when the Lord has ordained the wilderness in your life, embrace it because He wants to speak. He wants to speak to you tenderly. He has business to do with you. Now, wilderness can be a place of revelation. You know, Job went through the wilderness. And we all know what Job went through. I love the book of Job. He lost everything, his family, his wealth, possessions, cattle, you name it, everything gone. Everything was taken off him just like that. And the Bible says he sat in the ashes, took a piece of pottery and scraped his own sores. Now that is a miserable wilderness. He demanded that God would give him an explanation. For the first 37 chapters, Job is complaining. You need to explain to me why I'm going through what I'm going through. And in chapter 38, the Bible says, the Lord comes through the storm and speaks to Job. And he said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Man, put your seatbelt on reading that. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand, Job. Have you ever given orders to the morning? Or shown the dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it. The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their appraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recess of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which are reserved for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Do you command the eagle to soar its wings and fly south? Tell me, Job, if you understand all of this. So fascinating, so poetic. You see, God doesn't give him an explanation of why he was going through what he was going through. Instead, God gives him a revelation of how big he is. And I love it. Job listens to all that God had to say, and he says, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. I've heard about you a lot of things, but now my eyes have seen you. Revelation. The wilderness is a place where you have revelation of the Lord. He wants to show you how big he is. You know, years ago, when I was 18, after finished school, I wanted to be a doctor and take over my dad's hospital. So I wrote exams for medical entrance exams. I didn't get into medicine, but I was offered dentistry, which I didn't like. So there was a lot of pressure on me. But one after another, the door kept shutting on me to go into medicine. Just supernatural things would happen and just the doors are closed. And I couldn't figure out why. And then one day I was in another state with my grandfather. And we had this college opened up for me to go and study. And 2 days before I was meant to start, my grandfather passed away at the age of 78 in another state, just with me. And instead of going to college and pay my first semester fees, I drove back with my grandfather's body in an ambulance for 13 hours looking at the body at the age of 18. And I was angry with God. I said, God, you did this. You are the reason this has happened. At the age of 18, I didn't know better. Emotions took the better of me, and I said things that I regret. But the Lord is merciful and kind and gracious. And he comforted me, and he spoke to me tenderly. And you know, about 2 months later, an old man, a prophet, his name is George. He was this tall. He walked around with a stick, had shoes that are torn apart, very poor man, incredible prophetic ministry. He came to my house, and my grandmother said, pray for Josh, because he needs to study medicine. And anyway, the guy prayed. He was 92 years old at that time, 2005 it was. He was 92, and he said, I see Josh on a plane. And I don't know where he's going, but I see him on a plane, and I laughed. Nah, pray again, mate. I think you didn't get it. Nah, he went away. A couple of months later, he came back, prayed for me again. He said, I see you on the plane. Within 3 months, I was here. Now, I'm sharing this to let you know that wilderness that I went through for a couple of years taught me, revealed to me how big God is. You know, how I came here is a miracle on its own. It's a story for another day. And I see the hand of God. I see the power of God manifest through. And it's like Job said, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. That wilderness showed me how big God is. You know, the Songs of Solomon is a very poetic book in the Old Testament that talks about the covenantal love of God towards his bride, the church. It is you and me. It is a covenantal love. It's a poetic book that talks about the love of Christ for his bride. That is us. And Songs of Solomon 8, verse 5 says, who is this that coming up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Who is this that coming up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? You know, just like the Israelites went through the wilderness before they entered the promised land, you and me, the New Testament church, will have to endure through many wildernesses before we enter our eternal home. And Solomon in the spirit sings, who is this? They're coming up from the wilderness, leaning on our beloved. We will go through the wilderness in our lives, but we lean against our beloved, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strength. You know, a few years ago, my sister Hannah, which she's given me consent to share this, she went through a very rough period of wilderness. And one night she went to bed with a very heavy heart. And that night the Lord gave her a dream. And in the dream, a book appeared in front of her and the Lord flicked the pages backwards like an iPad flicking through pictures backwards. And the Lord showed her all the disappointments, the wilderness that she went through in the past. And then it stopped. And then the Lord flicked pages forward, showed her the wilderness that she will go through in the future. And then it stopped and the book was lifted off. Then another book appeared in front of her, a very huge book, and there was a lot of writing on it. And everything was blurred. She couldn't read anything on that book, but it was a huge book. Now she was looking at this book. Suddenly three words just popped up, bright and bold. And it said, respond with thyme. Not time, thyme, the herb. T-H-Y-M-E. Respond with thyme. And she woke up the next morning completely confused. What on earth is that supposed to mean? Respond with thyme. So she did a bit of study and research. In the ancient Roman Greek culture, thyme, the herb, represents courage. The soldiers and gladiators, when they went into the battle, they would put thyme leaves on their shoulder to induce bravery. Sometimes they put thyme leaves in their drink to induce courage. So the Lord showed her the wilderness that she went through, the wilderness that she would go through, and the Lord says, respond with courage. And I said, what more do you need? The Lord, your creator himself, turns up and says, this is the wilderness you went through. Things you will go through here. Respond with courage, for I'm with you. Let's journey through this wilderness. Let's embrace the wilderness, leaning on our beloved. You know, when people preach about Christian journey being one with champagnes and bubbles and prosperity and all that stuff, not wanting to be harsh, but that is not realistic. Yes, there are wins. Yes, there is victory in the Lord. Yes, there are blessings. Yes, there are prosperity, but it is one with wilderness in our lives, because the Lord has to take you through the wilderness to speak to us tenderly. He has business to do with us. He has to mold us. He has to prune us. He has to use the wilderness as a launch pad to take you to the next chapter. He has to use the wilderness as a launch pad to do great and mighty things with your life. If I can please request the band to come up, why don't we all stand up this morning? So this morning I want to encourage you, let not your hearts be hardened in the midst of your wilderness, but rather embrace the wilderness, knowing that God has a purpose. Somebody once said, you cannot shorten your time in the wilderness, but you can certainly lengthen it. And it depends on your response in the wilderness. And I pray that our response will be that we would surrender to what the Lord wants to do and accomplish in our lives through this wilderness. May our wilderness be nothing but a launch pad for what God wants to do in this next chapter. I myself, you know, somebody came to me a few months ago. I met this guy last year. A few months later, he came to me and he said, Josh, when I saw you first time, the first thing that came to my mind is this man is rich. And I thought, is he talking to me? He goes, mate, no, you're rich in the Lord. I said, yes, I have the joy of the Lord. But don't, that doesn't mean I am immune to the storms of life. there is a wilderness that I'm going through. I've been going through the wilderness I'm going through for the last few years. And no, it's not pleasant. And the Lord's doing a lot of pruning in my life. The Lord is putting to death a lot of carnal things in my life. He's forging my faith in Christ. It's not pleasant, but I am embracing because the Lord wants to speak to me tenderly. He has business to do with me. And however long that takes, so be it. I surrender to the Lord's plan for my life in this wilderness. And my prayer this morning, you know, there are people here today who is going through wilderness. You know, I love the songs that we sung this morning. I didn't even know. They didn't know the sermon topic. I love how the Lord confirms things. There are people here today who are going through wilderness in their life. You are ready to throw the towel in. You are saying, I can't do this anymore. I don't see a way forward. And if that is you this morning, I want to invite you to come to the front, because myself and the prayer team would love to stand with you. And I don't want to pray that your wilderness be taken away. I won't be praying that your wilderness be taken away. I want to pray that the Lord will give you the strength to endure this wilderness, because the Lord is doing business. Don't pray for your wilderness to be taken away. And I want to pray that the Lord would help you listen to what the Lord is speaking, because the wilderness means to speak, to direct, to instruct. And if we don't listen, if we don't tune in, we miss the whole thing. And I want to pray for you that you would listen, you would hear the voice of the Lord in this wilderness. And if that is you this morning, can I encourage you to come to the front? I'd love to stand with you and pray for you, give you encouragement. You know, when somebody's going through a rough time, a wilderness, don't go home and be happy about, oh yeah, he's been misbehaving, he deserves it. Believe me, he's on a launching pad for something great. You just don't know. God is doing some pruning in that person. He's about to launch into something great. Instead, go to that person and say, rejoice in this wilderness, because the Lord's doing some work in you. Yeah? Amen. So, also want to give an opportunity to anybody here who is yet to give your heart to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's like that scripture says, who is in this wilderness, who is coming out of this wilderness leaning against her beloved? That beloved is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Leaning against Jesus is the only way moving forward. And you are yet to receive Jesus in your heart. There is nothing more honorable for a man to say, I have given my heart to Jesus. That's the most honorable thing a man can do, a woman can do. And if that is you this morning, can I ask you to be bold and come forward? I'd love to stand with you and pray for you. And if we could please sing, Sasha, that third song. Is that possible? Yep. That would be awesome. So why don't you come to the front? Let's rejoice in this wilderness. Yeah? God is doing some work in us. Nothing is wasted. And maybe the wilderness was brought upon by your own unwise decisions, but that's okay. He can make all things work together for our good. Yeah? Because we are serving an almighty God. In His infinite wisdom, in His infinite power, He can make all things work together for our good, for those who trust in Him. So if that is you this morning, come to the front. Let's rejoice. Amen?